Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 9, 2015. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, make sure you call me for that also. Or you could also, well, I also need to say, if you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, or message. Of course, you know that. But I have another option for you. Just last week, a fellow, I got a letter in the mail, and he had a prayer request for his son. And, you know, without going into any other detail, and what I did was I took the letter with a prayer request in it. I took it to the mission church. So when Friday night Sabbath service come around and we have our prayer time afterwards, I had two of the brothers that are really good prayer warriors and my wife. We took and put the letter on a table, and we prayed over it. I anointed it with oil, and then we prayed over it, asking for help for his son. Now, while that may, you know, yes, I can pray for you over the telephone, and sometimes it's, excuse me, really hard to reach me. Letters or emails like that, if you send an email, you know, I can print it out and take it with me, and we'll anoint it with oil, and if you even want me to, then I can physically mail it back to you. If that's what your choice is, and you'll have it, something to hold on to, and it will have been anointed with oil. So pray about that, but of course you can still call me. If you get in an emergency, remember my phone number, of course. I guess I haven't given that out yet. It's 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. My emergency cell phone number is 316-619-4886. That's 619-4886. Area code 316 or 620, main number 620-878-4682. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found there at prophecyhour.com and at branch.thoughtomatic.com. Both are really smartphone friendly, and I challenge you to share these programs with other people. And of course, at the End Time Radio archives, which is branch.podomatic.com, you can download apps if that's what you want to do for your smartphone. But you don't need apps, mind you, to play it. All you got to do is just hit play or click download. But they got an app if you want it. Now, prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will. Father, we don't know how to do anything without you. So we ask that you take control, so what comes out will be your will, Father, and it glorifies you and doesn't glorify us. So please give everybody out there, all our listeners, ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, folks, when the Arab Spring started, I felt we needed to let you folks know the end time alarm needed to get louder. And, of course, that was when we added the sound of the shofar blast to the first of the radio program. And it blasts every radio program because we're getting closer and closer. In fact, we're fixing to. We have prayed about it, and we are going to start making shofars from scratch, you know, from, ram's horns and such, for you people that need a shofar, and we'll work it out. for a donation for the ministry, and you will get your personal handmade shofar by this ministry and anointed personally for you. So pray about that. But since we started blasting the shofar all around the Euphrates rivers, there's been battles and struggles as the nations are realigning themselves to attack Israel. We're seeing the end time lining up of the nations. In fact, ISIS just claimed they shot off missiles at Israel just the other day. Islamists predict that this year, or in their year 2016, their Mahdi, their savior, will reappear. There's supposed to be an apocalyptic war with the people of the book for that to come true. So what's next, folks? An apocalyptic war? A few years later, their version of Jesus, and I say Jesus, not Yeshua, they believe will also reappear to behead people who do not accept Islam. Most of the people in the West ignore these events. It has not affected them. With all the Christians being beheaded for Yeshua in the Middle East, they still don't warn the people as they await on fables. People in the United States, in the Western world, keep looking at the Bible as Western-centric. You know, that the USA is in the middle of it. Folks, it's all about Israel. It's a Middle Eastern book. Israel is the time clock. Recently, the Supreme Court went against the King of the Universe and declared gay marriage a right. Woe unto America and a judgment it will reap. We're starting to see the signs of the Shemitah as the Chinese stock market has been crashing and ours is shaking. The Shemitah year ends September 23rd. And what will happen? I don't know, folks. Is there any place that the remnant will be led to be in this time of trouble? Hear the cry. Hear the blast of the shofar. Get yourself ready because it comes. Tonight we have back on with us Kenneth Updegrove. Kenneth was led to a land that Corrie Ten Boom saw, a vision of angels protecting the land. He says it's a place of refuge for the future. We have talked to him about it several times, and tonight I brought him back on after he sent me this note in an email. It says, God says to the nations of America, behold, I'm against thee. My wall of protection is withdrawn from you. No more will I hear the prayers to save America from my increased judgments that I, the Lord, allow and shall send upon you. There is a line that has been crossed. Now, in the flashpoints of my, says the Lord, or my pronounced judgment shall increase and shall come. Expect them to increase, says the Lord. Show the nations of the world thy nakedness of America, because even in many of the shepherds who should be warning the people, but do not speak for me. It is that they shall tremble when, and also weep with fear when I pour out my righteous indignation upon them as well. Anyway, let's welcome now Kenneth Updegrove. Were you there with me, Kenneth?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for your invitation, brother. I'm really blessed.
Well, I'm really glad to have you back on. And you know, I keep coming back. One of the reasons I keep having you back is I'm trying to get it through people's heads that yes, you should be making preparations now. And, you know, we're so far forward. You know, the place where you're at, Kenneth, is one of the few places that I would honestly point to somebody and say, I believe that this place is safe. I believe that it's been set aside. But, of course, no place can be safe unless they're right with the Father. What do you think?
Absolutely. I always tell people, and it's an old saying, I didn't invent it, the safest place on earth is in the center of God's will for you. And I emphasize that because so many people come to me asking me if this is the only safe place. I said, well, I don't know that that's so. I would strongly suspect that there are several around the world. All I know is that this is the safe place the Lord sent me to. And there seems to be very good, solid reasoning from the standpoint of military thinking and from geological thinking and spiritual thinking that this indeed is a remarkable, remarkable place. While California and parts of Texas are really, and the Northwest are really suffering from a drought, we got so much rain, we don't know what to do with it. The Ozark Mountains got water. And so I hope that message gets over to people in California who are beginning to see where things are going in California and with the crops there. The Ozarks,
you know,
got water. Come here.
Yeah, amen. Just for a moment, you know, they're sitting up there suffering from a drought. But, you know, that drought partially is brought on by the environmentalists that could have made dams and things. But, you know, California is, you know, and I know I've got some brothers that are in California and sisters that listen to me on radio. In fact, in the San Diego area, I know there's a bunch of them, but my point is it makes no sense to say in a place that God is judging. That's clearly what's going on there is part of our fathers, the King of the Universe, his judgment on America and, you know, judgment on California, because it says that if you don't do the right thing, the Torah tells us that if we don't do the right things, then he won't send water in due season. That's part of the plagues.
But one of the things that we got to focus on is that is the, if you will, the vegetable basket of the United States. That's where we get our fruit and vegetables. And they're going to be in short demand and they're going to be high priced. So that's another reason why, you know, I encourage people that if you are here in the Ozarks where there's lots of water, and if you have greenhouses, then you can grow year round. So it's just important to be in a place that's sustainable. And so much of the United States isn't, and even a lot of the so-called safe places that others call safe, they're relatively safe, and that's true of the Ozarks as well, relatively safe. We nonetheless have to be in the right place and in God's will and under his covering if we expect to be safe any place. And that can
yeah,
be,
amen.
For heaven's sakes, in the worst ghetto in the world. It all depends on what God's covering. I would like to just interject that the prophecy you read there at the very beginning, that it wasn't I who wrote it. It was Rosemary Levine who wrote it, and I can send that to people if they want. But I just wanted to show that as something to show people that there's a lot of prophetic voices saying this. And the question is, there's a lot of different prophetic voices saying a lot of alarming things.
Right.
And we need to be very careful about receiving them. There's a lot of false prophecies out there, along with a lot of true ones. And 1 Corinthians 14 warns us to judge prophecy, and that the other prophets are to judge prophecy. And so I throw up that caution flag that we need to be ready to do that.
Well, Kenneth, let me ask you a question, which is, this is partially why I felt the urgency to have you back on. I felt that everything dramatically took a step towards judgment when the Supreme Court made the ruling on gay marriage. I believe that we're gonna see a huge persecution against Christians in this country, and, you know, judgment from the Father. What do you think?
I was listening to a program, and I made a lot of notes on it. Stan Quayle was interviewing Aaron Brickman on the head. Steve Quayle on the Aaron Brickman was interviewing Aaron Brickman. I'll get it eventually on the Hagman and Hagman report, and he was primarily focusing on the Supreme Court's decision and what he felt that the Holy Spirit told him as a prophecy to the nation. And he gave 9 points on what the Holy Spirit showed him. So, yes, America, I'm sure, is under judgment. And but every nation is, but America particularly is under judgment because we are the most powerful nation on earth in all of history. And we have had a Christian origin and a lot of Christian influence over all of these decades, in fact, centuries, over two centuries. And so the world is watching us. The world is watching us, and we hold a great deal of influence, and I'm sure that one of the things I've said for years is that a nation gets the leaders it deserves, and our leaders will either be our judgment or our redemption. And we have sure had some leaders who have been a clear case of judgment, at least in my opinion, my understanding of things. I'm 78, so I've watched an awful lot of presidents come into office, and I have marveled at like Bill Clinton. I said, when he says it's the economy, stupid, I knew that he prophesied it to the nation. Yes, the nation is looking at the economy rather than the spiritual state. And then Obama said, this is no longer a Christian nation. Well, he spoke condemnation on us because that's probably true enough. It no longer is. And shame on us. He was actually, if you will, clarifying this. No, he's not a Christian, and no, this isn't a Christian nation. No, don't look upon us as a Christian nation. If that isn't enough to bring judgment upon a nation, I don't know what is.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that we're under judgment. So I'm curious, you say you took some notes on that. I'm curious, what did the Spirit show to him? Do you care to comment on that? I'm curious.
Yes, I'll go through them. Point number one was, he just said the word Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. And Exodus 3:18 gives us a glimpse of the glory of God, his glory as who he says he is. And number two is, do not weep for the USA. Don't cry over losing the stuff. And the reference was to 2 Corinthians 7:10. And by the way, I can give the address to this show if people want to go and listen to it to themselves, for themselves, on the archive they have on it. Number three was, he says it is time to enter into the ark, which is Jesus, of course. In case of Noah's ark, you recall that when God sealed the door, told Noah and his family to go in and he sealed the door, they couldn't unseal it. They couldn't let anybody in if they wanted to.
Right.
Because God had sealed it, and who was in was in, and who was out was out. And so the question is, where does God want you? What is your ark, and where? Put it this way: where is your ark? Where is God sending you? How are you to be prepared for the end times that we are clearly have entered into from any premillennial evangelical point of view?
Amen. First off, something I'll point out, you come this far, we'll continue on with this, but, he says that, he believes it's time for us to enter into the ark. Well, folks, the word of the Father, as the word of the Lord says, that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. And I believe that clear up right until, well, at least the midpoint of the tribulation, when everything will be set. Those that are good will be good, and those that are bad will be bad. But until that point, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the same will be saved. But, if you're waiting for that last moment to get out of sin or whatever, you've got to look at there is a period of time during this tribulation that the only way that you're going to be divinely protected and not being tested on that new faith that you found is people that are right now. You need to get right now so that you will be protected, so that the Father can speak to you when the time comes for you. Some of you may, like Kenneth said, you said, Kenneth, that some will be safe and even in a ghetto. I believe that. But I believe a lot of other people, the father will say, get out of the city. Just get up and get out of the city. And or go here or go there. But if you don't have that the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you're not going to hear from him. You're not going to gain divine protection. What do you think, Kenneth?
Yes, and that divine protection, to really clarify, make it real clear that what we're saying here, is Jesus is our ark. We are to flee to Jesus, and our salvation is in Christ. Our covering is in Christ. When God looks at us, he looks at us in Christ, so that God sees his salvation, his righteousness, his holiness, and not ours, our lack of it. So, yes, our ark is Jesus. And that Jesus is everywhere, so we need to pursue him and really understand that there is no safety any place else. And even if we die, let's die in Christ. And whether we live or whether we die, let's be sure that we live or die in Christ and no place else. That is our, that's our ark. That's my ark. Even though my ministry is named Ark Haven, the ark is actually Jesus and not a physical boat.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, but he still tells us that we need to shut up the doors for a little while, you know, and wait while the indignation is past. And just like he said it'd be as in the days of Noah. Well, you know, Noah's protection for his whole family was because, you know, he was his relationship with the Father. That was what made him safe. And then the Father told him to go build an ark. And there's my point. You know, if you're not in that ark of Jesus or Yeshua, either way, it doesn't matter, then you're not going to know the things that you need to know that, you know, he may want to move you. He may tell you just to stay right where you're at, you know, and you won't have the discernment that you need in this time. Well, Ken, we're coming up on time for the midpoint break already. Can you believe it's went that fast? Why don't you give your website, and we'll go take a three-minute break after you do.
All right. www.arkhaven, A-R-K-H-A-V-E-N, .org, arkhaven.org, or A-R-K-H-A-V-E-N.
Folks, when you go to arkhaven.org, you can go over there and right on his front page, there's some really interesting things. There's Ozark Real Estate, some of the links are Safe Haven and Ozark Plateau, the coming financial holocaust, which I believe we already have started to enter into, watching what's been going on with the stock market, Christian community, a site map, a way to contact, how to write, call, or email. Kenneth, so there's all these important things there, and remember, if you're listening later, if you're not listening to this live, then over at wherever you got the podcast, there should be a link to arkhaven.org, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network, and we are warning the world as it happens. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Folks, it's people like you that has helped us keep going for the last 15 years. Oh, I guess in June we started our 16th year. The point is, that doesn't matter. What matters is that we're helping. We've helped over that period of time thousands upon thousands of people. We couldn't do that. It's our, you know, in the book of James it says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, works comes natural to somebody that's saved, but when we step out in faith, we accomplish things. You know, and I have the faith to believe that when I'm in Wichita, you know, and somebody needs shoes or whatever, we will spend down to the last of money in our pocket, you know, knowing that the Father would take care of the needs that are after. And so I put, you know, we put all our personal income into the ministry, and, you know, it's just the way it is. We take care of people. That's what we do. People know that we're different. People come from all over the city for things that they know that we don't have, know that they can't supply, because there's lots of miracles happen there. You know, we'll pray things in and we'll ask around for things. Always more prayer, always more prayer, and it gets things done. So, you know, even, you know, I hear so much all the time, whether it's from the police department or other people, or how we're legendary and, oh, last resort, go to Pastor Dan's. That's what they dubbed it. Instead of Messiah's Branch, they dubbed it Pastor Dan's. If you go ask any of the people in the city, well, do you know where Messiah's Branch is? You know, that homeless outreach church? Most of them will go, no, I don't know. But if you ask one of the homeless or whatever, say, hey, do you know where Pastor Dan's is? Oh, it's just right down the street. They know where it's at. And they're the ones that hung the nickname on me, Pastor Dan. While I am, yes, I'm a pastor, and yes, I am legally ordained, and yes, Messiah's Branch is a church, speaking of which, we are an we're not an incorporated church. We're a biblical church, And so, you know, if you send donations and if you want a thank you letter, you know, you can get a thank you letter, and you can use that for taxes if you want to do that. But anyway, so we do so many different things. We fix people that are beat up and broken up. We help people that have houses with clothing for their children and for their family. We give them food, so on and so on and so forth. The list just goes on and on, you know. And oh, I need to tell you this. We had a real blessing. There was this Messianic minister that's been coming and giving us eggs, and he went and rounded up some people that he knew, and some of them were other Messianics, and some of them were from just normal Christian churches. And so about 10 of these people showed up at our church, at the mission church, this last Tuesday, and told Mom that she wasn't going to cook, that just take it easy. And they prepared a spaghetti meal, and they brought in with it, and their little children served the people. It was a wonderful blessing from Wichita. That's the first time we've had somebody from Wichita come in and do that. And his prayer is that those people will go back to their other places and get more help. But I do encourage you people in Wichita that if you would like to do something for the homeless and poor, there's lots of ways that you can help. You can do it hands-on yourself. If you got things that you want to pass out to the homeless and poor, come in and do it. I know that the Salvation Army and places like that, they won't even take your donations of clothing for the poor, unless they will at the big place. But mostly they want money. They won't take donations of toiletries and those kind of things. But you can bring it down to us. You can even take the pleasure of handing it to the people yourself if that's what you want to do. But pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And so, you know, please pray about it. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Now, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And remember what I said. You know, if you would like a personally anointed shofar, I'm getting ready to put a page up with them at our website at prophecyhour.com. But pray about it, because you should be blowing the shofar before you have your assemblies. That's the and it also is a great tool if you want to run demons out of a house, you know, and you're anointing. I know a lot of you probably, well, we do that by anointing the doors and the windows and things. Well, if you look it up, you blow a shofar, a demon hates shofar blast, and it'll run them out. And so pray about it. And this is just a way that we can maybe bless you with something personal. And also, you know, we are going to ask a donation for it so that, you know, you donate to the ministry, and that way it'll help us. Because I know a lot of people don't like to give money without getting something in return, you know. And I don't mean that as a bad thing on anybody, but, you know, this way you get something. So pray about it. Pray about it. Anyway, we could use your support tonight if you could help it. If you don't want to support the homeless and poor, if you enjoy these radio programs, pray about supporting radio airtime, because I know a lot of you say, well, I listen to you on your podcast. Well, you know that podcast costs a lot of money every year for that. But those podcasts aren't really podcasts. Those are live radio programs that go out on satellite radio, and they go out locally on in Eagle Point, Oregon. So, you know, those are real. These are real radio programs, and radio program airtime costs. It is not free. So does production costs and all that. So pray about supporting airtime. We can sure use your help. Well, I guess I've talked enough. We brought Kenneth up to Grove on so he could talk, and not so I could talk all night. So are you still there with me, Kenneth?
Yes, I am. And God bless you for your wonderful ministry there. I hope that a lot of people will take note and bless your ministry. I sure wish I could. And whatever way I can, I will. I guarantee you that.
Believe me, brother, here's the point. You are blessing this ministry by being on this radio program. You're blessing the people. You know, you're making them aware of the time that we're in, and that is a great blessing to do, because you're putting yourself out front there, brother. And even if there, you don't get any physical attacks, I believe that you will get spiritually attacked for doing the things that you're doing, because the devil doesn't want people to be awake. The devil doesn't want people to know about a safe place. Back to you.
We were talking about the points that this brother brought forth in his message with Steve Quayle. How are you going to call him? Steve Quayle. The item 7 said that captivity is about to accelerate. And he was pointing out to, some scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Colossians 2:8. Where it says in Colossians 2:8, says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather that according to Christ, for in him are all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And, that's an awful long scripture, but I encourage everybody to look up Corinthians chapter 2 and then look in verse 8 and on, and also 2 Thessalonians 2 10 through 12, the major point being God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. There is so much of what is false going on in the church and in the government. We're being deceived from every quarter, and matter of fact, God himself is saying to those who know they are wrong and want their own way, that they are deluding themselves, and God will just, if you will, punish them for their self-delusion by putting... So once again, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Jesus has said, well, let me just read it all. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And there's much wickedness in our nation, and both in the government and the people and in the church. We need to be aware of that and protect ourselves, because we're so gullible. We want to trust our leaders. We want to trust our denomination or doctrinal group. We want to trust our pastors. But in fact, some of them, they themselves are deluded, and we need to be on guard for that. We need to take everything to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, and say, Lord, is this true? Is this true? Once again, 1 Corinthians 14, a verse there that's saying that we are to, that prophets are to prophesy, two or three, but then the others are to judge what prophecies were given. We don't see that in our churches. We don't understand that in our churches, and because of that, we come into a lot of delusion, a lot of error, and that condemns us. It puts us in great jeopardy.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Let me say something about that. This is why the way that we have it, not take up too much of Kenneth's time, but we have our table set in the horseshoe at Messiah's Branch, and so when we have our Bible study, we'll read a little bit, and then, we'll talk, and everybody inputs. And so, we each judge together what is being said, what the conclusion is. And so that when we're done, then, we rarely ever leave the room without being in complete agreement. And it doesn't mean that the first thing that is said is right. what comes out right is after the discussion and by more than one voice, by putting in, and that's what it means by allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, because he will teach you, work through everybody, and then you get in unison where it's established, two or more, and that's how to do it. When one man just stands up and dominates totally, and everybody has to be silent, what are you getting? Are you getting, maybe he is a godly guy, but I guarantee you nobody's going to be 100% correct 100% of the time. What do you think, Kenneth?
Absolutely. In such a setting, we actually have a cult, because when somebody dominates, it's their spirit that's dominating and not the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us rather than men. My Pope, if you will, is Jesus Christ. My pastor, the head of this household, is Jesus Christ, not Ken and not any other man. We need to protect ourselves from problem, I suppose, is really we want to be able to have somebody to trust, because we're just too busy to really pursue the Lord as we should. And so many Christians have never felt like the Holy Spirit would say that the Holy Spirit has never spoke to them, that they've never had a word from the Lord, and that they have to depend on the Bible, sola scriptura, or they need to depend on a word from the Holy Spirit to lead them. So be cautious. We're in a perilous time. We've got to have our peace in Christ. We must have our hope in Christ. My approach to everything is not in fear or anger or hatred, but instead in peace and love, and just living a lifestyle that is full of peace. Instead of focusing on what Satan's doing, I am focusing on what God's doing, and especially in my life. In our little farm of 2 acres, we just hope to just farm.
Right. Amen.
A tranquil farmer lifestyle, just simply live it out. The safest place in the world is out in the country.
Amen. You know, a lot of people talk to me about, they say, well, you know, around Y2K, I went and stored up a bunch of food, and, you know, that didn't mean to nothing, so I'm not going to go buy a bunch of stuff and whatever. You know, the problem that most people have, Kenneth, is they don't get it right. You have it right. I don't know if you're like me, but I live in a small town of less than 500 houses, and you know what? The store's a little ways away. We don't even have a store here, but the point is we live a lifestyle. When we go to the store, we buy, we go once a month, basically. We go back for some other things, but we basically go once a month. Our shelves are stocked like a store. And so we build up. And so that any given time, with that, without our actual storage food, there's a year's supply of food in our house. And we rotate that every month. And so, you know, we're not buying up a bunch of things that we don't need. It's the same way with our garden. You know, we garden, we use what we can. If we can't, we can it, you know, or take it. In our case, we don't have no problem getting rid of it. We take it to mission church. But when you're living a farmer lifestyle, like you say, then you're living a life of preparedness, because you're putting away things and you're growing naturally, and you have the means to do that, to sustain yourself. And it's a natural environment, and what better way to do it? Back to you.
That's a 6,000-year-old tradition that has worked for these 6,000 years. Grow it yourself, prepare it yourself, store it yourself, cook it yourself. It's the old farm system of agricultural living. It works. And if you just simply live your life out there in the country and pray for your neighbors and feed your neighbors and look after your neighbors, they will also likewise look after you.
And yeah, amen.
Just simply the Christian lifestyle. One of the things that he was saying was that America is headed towards judgment. I guess that sure doesn't surprise anybody. I would say that is sure a case.
Let's go with it. I got something here. I'm going to try not to get into great length with it, but in Romans, you know, it talks about, you know, because people strayed away from God, the Father themselves, that he gave them over to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than served the creator. And who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions, for even their women did change the natural use of which was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, and whispers, backbiters, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, that who, knowing the judgment of a God which commits such things, are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My point is here, with that scripture, does it not just tell us that because people are not following our Father, Yahweh, the creator of the universe, then he allowed these people to be reprobate? And so these people that some of you folks out there are saying, it's all right if they're gay, you know, we got to compromise, or you know what, those people you shouldn't even associate and have dinner with. Those people are that way because the Father allowed them to be that way so that they would be judged. That's why he did it. The word just said he allowed them to be that way so that they would get judgment, allowed them to have a reprobate mind. So it is not of the Father to have gay marriage. It's a judgment. What do you think?
Now, you're just reiterating 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 11, it says, "For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false." God never changes. He doesn't have to. He's always been right in the first place. He's always been infallible for eternity. And therefore, he does not have to, doesn't need to change his mind. We change our mind, and we get influenced by society and want to just get along and be nice people. I get told that a lot. So, Ken, you just don't get along, do you? You just aren't a nice guy. You just always have to start trouble by bringing up all this stuff. And I said, all I'm doing is just telling you what God said. I guess what you're saying is you really don't like what God said. And isn't that a pitiful truth?
I'll let you finish, okay. But let me ask you this question. You know, the mainstream Christian church keeps saying over and over, well, we just got to love them, love, 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 love. Okay, because I love them and I love the people, I love them enough to tell them the truth. What do you think?
Say that again. I was distracted.
I said, because, you know, the Christian church says that we are supposed to love one another and just love the homosexuals and love these sinners and everything. Well, because I love them, I tell them the truth. I read them the scriptures. I tell them what God says because I love them and I wish that they may be saved.
If we can say that in love, and real concern in our hearts, and not without hatred and contempt, then yes, that is so. Sometimes we contradict ourselves mid-sentence because we're saying it out of hatred and anger and contempt, disgust, and so on. On the one hand, all these things do that to me, but for the end of it, you know, we're looking at the sin versus the sinner. The sinner, we love the sinner. We want the sinner to be saved and to be redeemed and delivered from all of this deception and all these things that destroy their lives. physically and spiritually for eternity. Eternity is a long time. It just amazes me how people play with their eternity, not understanding what they're doing. One of the things that he said was something to consider, and that is get your citizenship decided right now. He's questioned, him and others questioned whether America is Babylon or not. But so we need to settle on whether America or the kingdom of God will be our, where our citizenship is, where our patriotism is, where our focus is. I am an American but who lives in the kingdom of God. Or maybe we put it the other way around. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God that, and I live in America. My patriotism, I love my country, but my patriotism is towards the eternal kingdom of God rather than the temporal kingdom of America that I've loved so much over my life. You know, I was in the military. I was in politics. I've been in all kinds of pro-American, anti-communist, patriotic, working my life, very, very active. But I've reached the point where I must now decide that my allegiance is to Jesus Christ, the King of glory, and to his kingdom. So that's where my focus is now. I try my best to get that focus. Philippians 3, verses 18 through 21, make that real clear, that the true saints will receive a revelation of our citizenship if we read this scripture.
Amen. Well, you know, we've only got to, believe it or not, we have so much fun here, Kenneth, that we're really out of time. We've got about a minute left for you to tell them your website and everything. And I'm sorry if I took up too much of your time tonight.
Oh, not at all. There's another time, huh? I never even got to my major point notes. But there's another time. I'll send them to you in the mail.
Well, you send them to me, but we'll do it. We'll wait about a month and we'll talk again.
All right. All right. This is Ken Uptegrove at Arkhaven Ministries, Arkhaven. And on that website, you will see a page where you can go to email me or write to me or whatever you wanted to phone me. All of that information is there on the contact page.
Well, that's real good. And, folks, I encourage you to if you have questions, to ask him and contact with him, and he'll share it with you. Brother, I really love you being on, and I try to let the Spirit lead the program, and I feel we had a good time, and I pray that we helped some people.
So I'm trust we did. I'm trust that it was a blessing to somebody. It sure was to me.
Amen. It was a blessing to me, too. Well, you be blessed, and we'll talk again. I got to let you go. Bye-bye and shalom.
All right. Sure.
Folks, there's one thing. You know, I believe that the time is getting near. I know that judgment, I can see judgment in different things. Part of judgment is lying, evil to be abound. That's what I just read you in Scripture. The Father allowed these kind of things because they didn't love him, because they worshiped idols and other things in their lives. So he allowed them to do these things that made them reprobate, things that would allow them to be damned and to be judged. So, you know, I wonder if we passed the point to where we no longer actually pray for the country and just concentrate on our families and so on. Is this country past that point of no return? If you got an answer for that, email me or call me. Maybe we'll have you on the program. If you know somebody else is talking about it, do it. Stay tuned. We'll be having Benjamin and Baruch on in another hour. But we must remember, there is only one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Only through his mighty son. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.